Welcome back to Picture Africa and Creative Disturbance. I have the pleasure to be today with Tegan Bristow and Deb Chumba from Johannesburg.
Morning.
Hello.
My name is Tegan Bristow, and I am a lecturer at the Wits Digital Arts Department at Wits University, and I'm also an interactive media artist, and I'm also at the moment curating and working with the Fagugezi Digital Innovation Festival.
My name is Chip Chumba, and I'm from Kenya. I have been working mainly with designing user interfaces and user experience design, and also curating African digital art, but now moving into becoming more of a digital artist myself.
Okay, thank you very much. So how can did you end up coming to, working on the Fagugezi, and where did the idea come from?
We were hosting the Amaze Indie Games Festival in Johannesburg for 2 years. That's a Berlin-based indie games festival, and we realized that we wanted to have a lot more African focus on digital arts, and not only focusing on gaming, but more broadly digital arts and technology, creative technology practices. So last year, we decided to start a festival of our own. We called it the Fagugezi Festival. The name actually comes from a suggestion by a guy called Shonisoni Lutole, the name means Fagu, which means add, and Ugezi, which is electricity or power. And it's also, it's a word that's used at dance parties as well, like Fagugez, add the power. So we thought that was kind of like young, dynamic, interesting name for it. And it also reflected a new space that was kind of coming about, or new creative force that was coming about in Braamfontein. So the university is placed on the outskirts of the suburb called Braamfontein. And in Braamfontein, we're starting an innovation zone, a digital innovation zone, called DIZ and Smolhong. And there's also a lot of really brilliant, young, beautiful, creative people walking around in the space, as well as students. So we wanted to celebrate that and also bring technology and creativity together.
Why do you think that video games took so many importance in South Africa in the field of digital art?
Well, the Amaze Festival is actually a Berlin-based festival, and Thorsten Wedemann, who runs it, invited us to participate with him to start a festival here in Johannesburg. So we ran that independently for 2 years with him, and then we realized that we actually needed more focus than just gaming. Because gaming was really new, and we weren't spending enough attention on other aspects of digital art. So that's why we started the Fagugezi, to expand on the gaming aspect.
It's the second edition. It seems very successful. How do you make the choice of the artists and the works that will be addressed during the festival?
So at the moment, we're kind of drawing on our community. So there's a various things that happen in the festival. So we have a software development community, and they have their own conference, which is part of the festival. So Agile Africa have a conference. We also have like mobile developers and app development hackathons that are sort of part of the sort of business development and innovation node that is joining here. And then we have we had a smart cities symposium, which we have partners that are gathering data about smart cities and debating whether smart cities can or cannot be successful for Johannesburg and how we should be thinking about them. We also have other partners with the British Council and ConnectZA that have an amazing creativity program around Innovation Month, so it's focusing on innovation and creativity. And we also have, obviously, the Amaze Festival again. And then, so there's basically a whole bunch of different partners that are active in the space, and we wanted to feature all of them in their different capacities. So the whole festival is 3 weeks long, and in those 3 weeks, we have a series of different events. The residency, which is also happening for the second year, this time it's the first time that the Fagugezi residency is actually running for the whole 3 weeks of the festival.
I think this is the time where Jeb Chumba comes to play, I guess.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just to add on to what Tegan has said, that, you know, I also have been immersed in African digital art for a while. So the Fakukezi Festival has been really one of the most important events in placing African digital art in, you know, in prominence in not only in the field of technology and digital media, but also in understanding how, you know, African culture is being influenced by technology. So I think that the Fakukezi has been quite extraordinary in not only bringing international artists and curators and interested parties, but also in like engaging the residents of Johannesburg and even larger to actually think about, and not even just think about, but also participate in the growing digital space. So, yeah.
So we have a large, we have a really large focus on bringing other people from the continent into the festival. And year by year, that becomes a larger focus every single time.
Yeah, your festival requires some residents out of the continent. And I recently made a podcast with Greg Strick that you probably know. You know. He was in Vancouver for ICA. And maybe that in 2 years, South Africa will host the first ICA if his candidacy is being selected. So I had a more general question about that. So why do you think that South Africa is attracted so many interesting events and manifestations? Yeah.
I really think, you know, not to focus only on one person, but I think it's really been the efforts of Christo and Tegan in actually bringing sort of a lot of research and a lot of prominence and writing about exactly the movement of African digital arts and actually put that in sort of a framework for people to understand. And I think that, you know, South Africa also generally in terms of a place where people start when they're trying to immerse in the whole continent seems like a natural place to start. But there are definitely many, many areas across across Africa, for example, Ghana and Kenya that are also emerging in terms of digital art practices. Mm-hmm. So I think this is much, you know, we have sort of been working in this space for quite a few years. But, you know, as more and more people gain access to digital technology and utilize it as a form, as a medium to communicate ideas and also communicate philosophies and ways of life, that you'll definitely see it spreading across the continent. So, I mean, we're very fortunate right now to be sort of at the forefront of it. And, you know, like it's, you know, when we both started, we were basically evangelists trying to say, hey, there's something happening. But it seems like more and more people are taking notice of what's happening. And it's great that it's spreading from South Africa and beyond.
Yeah, we just had a guy in here, Kofi Latsi.
Kofi Latsi Katso.
Yeah, do you know him?
Yeah, I know him. We're supposed to make a podcast together, yeah.
He was just here just now because we invited him to participate in the maze. And he was blowing our minds, telling us about some of the stuff happening in Senegal and Togo and Mali, where he's quite active.
Yeah, the field of video games, right?
Yeah, he does a lot of work with video games, but also comics and sort of graphic design-y kind of stuff. And he was showing us some really, really interesting things. And I think the exciting thing about Fakukezi is that it's a location where Africans can also get together and start growing their own like position on digital arts and, you know, like Jeff was saying, the philosophies, the influences, what we will take, what we won't take, that kind of stuff.
I mean, and also you have to remember that South Africa also has, in terms of resources, much more resources and accessibility than many other countries in Africa. So logistically, even bringing in, you know, artists from Togo or Central African Republic or, you know, other hard-to-reach areas, you know, South Africa is a great focal point. But, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a while, and it never, ever ceases to amaze me, you know, the amount of creativity that people are bringing to the digital art space on the continent. So for us, it's a big challenge, but an opportunity for us to really have the ability to bring more prominence into this space, because you know Africa is a very young continent, and you always hear those Africa is now phrases or Africa is the future, but you know, being in immersive technology, we actually do get to witness, you know, that happening in the work that we do.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna progressively move toward your personal project. So again, and Jepchumba, can you please come back again to the original idea of your collaboration and tell us more about the Future Lab and the South African Futures project?
Yeah, so I can actually. So Jep and I actually met in 2010, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, we've kind of been going back and forth, having conversations with each other. And as my research has evolved and as her research has evolved, we've realized that we're actually looking at a lot of the same stuff. And that stuff kind of came together at the Post-African Futures exhibition that I did earlier this year. And I had invited Jep Chumba to participate in the exhibition. I had chosen some quite beautiful print work that she had made and asked her to show that. But she was like, I don't want to show work. She was interested in actually taking the conversations that we were having forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of critical African perspective on technology, not just the sort of pop culture aspect of technology and innovation, but really looking at innovation and digital thinking and technology thinking from a critical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So Jep Chumba actually came forward with a proposal for Future Lab Africa. Maybe you want to say a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a collaborative thing. I mean, also both of us, being exposed to many African artists, African digital artists and African contemporary artists, we also have many, many conversations that we feel like people need to hear. And there's sort of, within the African art scene, many artists just still do not have the ability to speak for themselves and speak to their work. And their work generally gets misrepresented or misprinted when it's exported to many other countries. So for us, I mean, the concept for the Future Lab Africa podcast specifically was to actually have African artists really have a long-form discussion about their work and the meaning behind their work. And then extending beyond that, which is also part of what Tegan's work is and what my work is supporting African digital artists beyond just exposure, but actually create spaces like the Fakugezi Lab and other spaces where they can have the opportunities and resources to really expand their practice. So it goes beyond just, you know, showcasing and featuring or highlighting and talking about, but actually providing African digital artists the opportunities to collaborate together, and also to have the resources to actually build artworks that are really informing how we see, you know, cultural technology in and around the continent.
Yeah, I mean, because there's very little. If you go online, I mean, you've started your podcast, but you know, outside of that, there isn't a space where Africans are actually speaking about their technology practices. And like Jeff said, it's translated and presented in a European or North American format that doesn't actually have any real kind of context to what's happening here, or it's presented in a kind of patronizing way. You know,
yeah. I always sort of say it's like a tourism, a sort of like an airport where you can just go over and say, "Ooh, this is cool from Cameroon," or "Oh, this is nice from Senegal," but there's not a, you know, African artists and contemporary and digital artists are not given, you know, their work isn't given the sort of proper consideration and examination that is actually much needed, you know.
What is the reason behind that?
Well, from my perspective, I think that a lot of technology art is exported, and also when it's picked up, it's translated. For instance, like Afrofuturism, you know, Afrofuturism, this title was given to so many African artists that had anything digital or technological in their work.
That was my next question, but thanks. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, the artists themselves didn't give themselves that title, but it's I feel that it's a way that the European and American art culture, contemporary art culture, are trying to interpret or aren't ready to really understand what's happening there, and try and see it through their own lens. So I think the problem is that we're presenting work within a global sphere of contemporary art, and that global sphere is like held by European curators and North American curators. So it's literally about us now taking a stand and making our own version of that and presenting our own class of that. And it might be an infrastructural issue. It might be that, you know, what Jeff was saying before, that potentially there aren't enough resources to support what is really happening here or to present what's really happening here. So Future Lab Africa and the Fakagezi Lab,
and just general, the work that we do independently and collaboratively has to do with that as well. And, you know, just adding on to what Tegan is saying about being misread and misrepresented, she hosted the Post-African Futures exhibition she curated, and it was a real examination critique about this whole futurism and African futurism and Afrofuturist. And even her entire exhibition, even to this day, is still being misread and misrepresented. And she constantly has to sort of tell people to read and examine and listen to what the artists are saying. So it's a constant battle that that you see all the time.
So, please go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just saying that, I mean, even we doubt the terminology that we've started using to describe our own stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we called Future Lab Africa Future Lab Africa because it was a way to talk about, we're using that kind of language. But what's been quite exciting here at the Fakagezi Lab as part of the residency, Jeff Chimbers, as part of her work, has been actually interrogating how Africans really think about the future. And it's been really interesting. She's been doing a lot of interviews, making an artwork, because Africans don't like to think about the future, actually. You know, it's a very hard thing to do from an African cultural perspective. And yet still this notion of future gets bandied about.
It's tossed around until I've automatically become a futurist now. I've embraced it. Yeah, but I think, you know, even speaking to, I mean, I think it was definitely from the call from Post-African Futures that, you know, even with research and even with the research that that I've been doing, even the work that I'm doing currently at Fakagezi has really led me down to actually investigate what African futures are and how we discuss African futures. And you know, part of the brief for the residency has to be really speaking to and engaging the residents of the area that we're in. So part of the work that I did was actually going out on the street and asking people what exactly do they think about the future, or how do they see themselves in the future. And it's been quite extraordinary to see a lot of, you know, pessimism towards the future or reluctance to think, you know, past 10 years or 5 years beyond the future. And I think that's quite dangerous because, you know, we have a lasting legacy, and especially if we're in a system where we're creating technology that is going to be produced, that's going to affect, you know, not only our generation, but generations to come, that it is important for us to sort of landscape and map out what are the most important things or what are the critical things that we want to pass down. But I think also this idea of futurism is also important because many artists, especially at the Post-African Futures and the interviews that I did, in their work when they actually were starting to think about African futures, also had his connection and relationship with the past. And Tegan's been speaking quite a bit about that. But it's quite interesting that even when I was also doing my research about futures, that I ended up going in the past. So it's quite a time traveling expedition that is I think exciting and also actually quite important and necessary, you know, as we move forward.
So I'm sorry, but we need to move forward in the podcast. I'm gonna come back to the faculty, I see, have you seen any emerging trends around, you know, about the appropriation of technology by African artists? Is there any new trends that seems to be more represented for you?
Well, I think, you know, for just generally, I find that the use of technology within African culture is basically just an augmentation of African culture as it stands today. So, which is huge, which is very dominantly social and community orientated. And also, you know, if we think about what are the technologies of the past and what are new technologies talking about past technology. So, consciousness, spirituality, communication, healing, you know, how does contemporary technology bring those past technologies into contemporary times? So it's really about bringing the past and the future together to meet the needs of now. That's kind of how we've been looking at it.
And I think one of the biggest trends that I also have been witnessing, just to add on to what Tegan said, is that there's less of a relationship between Africa and the West, or this colonial revisiting and rehashing, that people are much more interested in actually going much more internal in their culture and in the things that have been passed down traditionally. So it's not necessarily a reaction against, you know, like post-colonial, you know, kind of
it's like leaves,
discussion.
It leaves over that quite a lot, and it actually kind of, it tries to create a new discourse, like, after colonialism as well.
Yeah.
So but I think
there's quite a lot right now that's exciting for both of us about this whole, you know, idea of spirituality and technology, or spirituality and electronics, and we're also, you know, we're, as much as we're excited, we're also kind of scared that it's going to get misappropriated or misunderstood when it gets translated abroad. But for our selfish and you know, creative reasons, you know, it's something that we're quite excited to see and witness, and also have discussions with artists about.
And the other thing that I found is that people working in that space and dealing with spirituality and consciousness and electronics are wanting to keep it very in-house. They're like battling, they don't want to share it out too much because they're afraid of the internet. They're afraid of the racism and the kind of bigots that sit out there and criticize Africa and have been for so long. So it's all, and that's also why Faka Gezi is important for us, because we want to do our festival here in Africa rather than in Europe.
You're right about it. Let's continue this discussion in another podcast, because I think we...
Yes, and we would love to have your participation and voice. I mean, Tegan is going to also be doing a series of episodes for the Future Lab Africa podcast, but we'd also love to hear your voice and perspective, since you've been speaking to quite a few people, and just to hear your take on it. So it'd be lovely to have you interview as well.
We'll call you back.
Thank you very much. Thank you for now, then. Thank you.
Bye.